Officially announced the killings of IS by the Ottoman Empire's genocide. The Serbian Senate rebuked Turkey, failure to deny its aid. The Turkish foreign minister said the solution was Kyrgyz revenge for Turkey's action towards Syria. There has been no immediate action so far from the administration. And U.S. had blocked the Alabama's portion ban that would make the judge flee at any state pregnancy laws on the east. Alabama law would call for a sentence of 10 years to life in prison for the abortion provider with no exceptions for rape or incest. Alabama legislature approved the measure this year, hoping to mount a constitutional right. Abortion providers sued these to stop the law from going into effect. From here in Washington, this is VOA News. British Prime Minister Boris Johnson will be on to hold Britain's first December election in almost a century in a bid to break the Brexit deadlock, reporter Gavin Gary reports.
So the eyes of it, eyes.
Christmas came early for UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson Tuesday, who won Parliament's approval 238-20 for a December early general election. This, after a string of stinging defeats, Johnson finally received the necessary backing from opposition parties. Labour's Jeremy Corbyn had posed an election while a no-deal Brexit was still on the table. But now that the EU has finalized the UK's third Brexit extension until the end of January, he said that condition was now met. The early election will be held on December 12th.
That was Gambino Garley reporting. The National Collegiate Athletic Association, or NCAA, appears to be moving toward allowing U.S. college athletes to cash on their fame, AP correspondent Ben Thomas reports.
The NCAA Board of Governors voted unanimously to clear the way for the amateur athletes to benefit from the use of their name, image, and likeness. The NCAA has long barred players from hiring agents and has steadfastly refused to allow players to be paid by their schools. But that's been challenged by states. California law to take effect 2023 would prevent athletes losing their scholarships being cut off their teams for signing investment deals. Now, Board Chair Michael Drake says the NCAA realized it must embrace change to provide best possible experience for college athletes. I'm Ben Thomas.
For Trump administration official insider played a key role in the Russia probe strategy run for the House seat, Jeffrey California's Katie Hill, AP correspondent Jackie Hasendorf.
The potential candidate is George Papadopoulos, who made headlines trying to set up a meeting between candidate Trump versus Vladimir Putin to get dirt Hillary Clinton during the 2016 campaign. Papadopoulos eventually pleaded guilty to lying to the FBI and cooperated with special counsel Robert Mueller's investigation. He spent 6 years in and emerged a credit for President Trump. This and Papadopoulos tweeted about the Katie Hill scandal, saying that he lost the state much to see run down by candidates like Hill. Says that she's the victim of a revenge porn campaign while under investigation for an inappropriate relationship with a congressional staff member. Jackie Quinn, Washington.
And here, the U.S. Baseball World Championship will be decided Wednesday night in Houston after the Washington Nationals defeated the Houston Astros 7-2 Tuesday evening series at 3 games apiece. From here in Washington, I'm Michael Brown, VOA News.
Of America, James Butt in Washington. It's Wednesday, October 30th, and here are some of the stories we are covering. Mozambique's opposition will challenge the October 15 election results.
Clearly, there was bulk of staffing in favor of the incumbent. The targets were changed. All these contributed to the size of the victory of him.
That's Doriana Vunka of the Maputo Bay Center for Market and Development, who has opposition hopes to regain for president in 2024. White Gears House Press dismissed the cabinet before next election, and been rough those killed during the October 15th test in Conakry will not take today Wednesday.
What will happen?
That's funeral. That yesterday night, we have a communique of government saying that Kodia had not read, so I think we have everybody today.
Tidia took the leader of the opposition union, Republic Socialist Party. Uganda hosts the 4th African Union Judicial Dialogue in Kampala today Wednesday, and there is a fear in Uganda's community after death penalty threats. Those three more are coming on Daybreak Africa. Mozambican President Filipe Nyusi and his Frelimo party won a resounding victory in the 2015 elections. Official results show Nyusi winning 73% of the presidential vote. Frelimo will hold more than two-thirds of seats in the national party. He also has a majority and the right to nominate governors in provinces. Opposition parties say they plan to contest the results, but commentators see little chance of overturning the results. Tom McCall reports from Maputo.
The USMT said that some election results gained credibility, and the EU observer said vote conducted in a climate of fear and intimidation on an level playing field. Adrian Vinger of Mapuche-based Center for Democracy and Development says the election was rigged from the outset, but is still surprised the opposition was completely empty-handed.
Everyone believed that a free and fair election would have been power sharing at the provincial level. Clearly, there was ballot box stuffing in favor of the incumbent, and the tabulation part and the polling stations were transparent in some parts. The time sheets were changed. So clearly, all these contributed to the size of the victory of Frelimo.
The opposition Renamo Party and others said Tuesday they will meet the Appeals Constitutional Council to have the results overturned. Actually, they're unlikely to get back in the LVRA.
I don't see the Constitutional Council today to forward to be able to inspect more on the federal. And so, this is part of the poor and democratic politics.
Tony Wen, a senior Frelimo official on the seat of Parliament, said that he now started to blame that Frelimo over one victory shouldn't have as a surprise. The principal mistake of the opinion was to mention itself the economic, political, social situation we've been living in Mozambique. Supposedly, for so-called debt would be enough for people to stop in Frelimo, Wen says. They didn't need grassroots campaign or consistent work to transmit what could have said Frelimo. President Nyusi will be embattled by the election to move forward with his political agenda, Wen says. But Bunga has to worry about using Frelimo information for the political scene in Mozambique.
The election only gave him a victory in a way that the state power was used, not only against the opposition, particularly against independent observers, you know, that were denied donations to all things. The use of this power tells you that the state is even much more politicized using the framework to not only to change space for independent thinking and for independent civil society organizations, but to allow democratic space.
And in confirmation of results by the Constitutional Council, President Nyusi is expected to be sworn into office in January, like a VOA news Mapuche
TV. Rather, this is an opposition to show that the pressure, not just the elites, shares in the country's growing economic wealth. It's the opposition to Victor Mbiri. And that there's a serious deal to opposition to Mbiri. She is not good at performing an opposition to one candidate. It's 24 financial elector, Ruhem Okele.
The community came to start seems the limit to all that changing its print and your growth, universal health care, and improving mission. According to the fellow opposition leader Victoire and other leaders to food solidarity, she says to them say it in public, disarrest government officials, and in the worst case, skill.
Of course, I am afraid for times, but I don't accept to stay in the fight to live in the fight because we need leading to struggle for democracy or kind.
Ingrid herself spent 8 years in prison after trying to run against longtime President Paul Kagame in the 2010 election. So far this year, two opposition leaders have been killed in Rwanda, one stabbed to death in September, the other one found dead in a forest in March. Human Rights Watch research Odi Wabuye says an investigation shows the government like involved in their deaths.
Sometimes when someone is killed, the evidence suggests that this is something the government is behind. And it would be good to have concrete answer to these things. That's why we push the government to investigate and find out who is involved and why these killings continue.
The Rwandan government has not responded to HRW's claim it played a role in death. Ingabire continues her mission, even though the killers have been arrested. Driving a car, she sees secret service of your foreign mark. She shows us a story of Kelly, where people live for the import electricity. It's not Sven Road, just red soil. The area is just a kilometer away from the capital's affluent city center.
To the world economy, particularly. But what it is to divide this with more.
Ingabire is white together at the UN King Park acknowledged. She says it has in members the registration has not come through. 23-year-old Diana Ingabire is an opposition party member.
Of course, I'm still very young, but at least when I asked to be in opposition, it is the situation that I see around, that I see in my young age, and I ask how will be my old years.
Ngabira hopes to have her EU in Ingarashi's attempt to challenge Kagame again in 2024.
If my political party will be registered, I will participate. But the priority for us not to participate in the election is to get police space is up in Rwanda.
If that happens, Ngabira's prosperity will still flow to people of Rwanda, Kigali, and beyond. Tamanda, VOA News, Kigali, Rwanda.
This Wednesday, October 30th, you're listening to Break Africa, Voice of America. I'm just about to get to Break Africa. It's 14 past the hour. The African, European, Indo-American Court of Human Rights have signed a memorandum of understanding in efforts to promote and protect human rights in their respective member states. This comes as Uganda's capital, Kampala, is hosting the 4th African Union Judicial Dialogue to Wednesday. Moses Harimana reads from Kampala.
The Human Rights Court of Africa, Europe and Inter-Africa signed a memorandum of understanding in efforts to establish a permanent forum for judicial dialogue. And Kanzberger is chairman of the European Board.
Memorandum of understanding wants to show that we are not thinking in little slack regional boxes, but we all want to construct this whole building of human rights for everybody everywhere. We have identified several areas, we work better.
In Africa, 30 countries ratified the protocol establishing the coup, with only 9 out of the 54 African states to have submitted the declaration to the court. East Africa, only Tanzania submitted the declaration, while Rwanda withdrew its declaration, hence stopping its citizens and government organizations directly feel complete against it. Sylvain Ole, the president of the African court.
We know why we can put our back in order to solve issues that we are dealing with. For example, issues of implementation of decision, issues of ratification, sensitization, and issues of merit when it comes to deal with the cases, how we deal with cases.
According to the African court, there is a lack of political in African Union member states to ratify and declarations to the African court. Can't wait to make declarations to the Continental Court. The citizens or governments can be able to ask the court. Can be aware that the member state agreement is a national policy decision. Moses Yerimana, VOA Africa, Kampala.
In Guinea, accredited mass bearers of those killed during the Tivoli protest is a firm bid by President Alpha Conde will not exist as land. Ministry of Health and Public Hygiene issued a communique on Wednesday saying the autopsy commission to determine the actual causes of death have not been completed. The opposition says as many as 9 people were killed, but the government disputes this and wants a detailed autopsy to determine what it calls the real causes of death. And Sidi Ature, leader of the opposition Union of Republican Forces Party, says the government is trying to provoke the opposition because doctors have assured the opposition that the bodies will be ready for burial on Wednesday.
It was supposed to be today, but yesterday night we have a communique from the government saying that bodies are not ready, but we know that. I think it's a kind of provocation, and we don't know what happened exactly. So I think we did not bury bodies today.
So you have a communication from the Ministry of Health and Hygiene. The ministry says that it is doing an autopsy on the victims, and because of the complexity of the autopsy, it's not possible to release the bodies.
This is not true, because we have absolutely worked with the doctors and we have finished the autopsy, and body was ready to be buried today. All right.
How many people or do you opposition kill during the protest?
From outside, 11 people, because 2 was dead yesterday, today, so 11.
Is the government claiming that only 3 people were killed and that it's not clear if any else was killed? Be reportable the delay in releasing bodies, because if these people were brought, the government claiming that the people were killed, don't you think the government's right to delay to know who killed the other people?
No, you know, the number of people who was killed is coming from Human Rights Watch. So people who was killed last week, it was 9 people, and 2 days after, 2 of them was dead because they were was wounded. And we finished all those autopsy with the doctors. We prepare the bodies, and we know that they're really ready to be buried today.
When you say ready to be buried, were you going to have a mass funeral or what?
We want to have a mass funeral, and yesterday night to have this communique, we don't know why.
When we last talked, you mentioned that perhaps you were planning another mass protest for Thursday. Is that still the case?
No, it's not the opposition. This is the government who want to have a mass protest, you know, to receive Alpha Conde coming from Russia, you know. It's something curious. Is the government is protesting against the opposition, you know.
What do you mean the government is protesting against the opposition?
Because they want to put people on the street and have a rally to say that, you know, Alpha will have a third mandate and so. The government must have people to come to rally, and they ask the army to be here. They have to take T-shirt from the Alpha's party, policemen, you know, government issue. All those people have to take T-shirt from Alpha's party and to have a rally on the street to say that many Guineans was outside to say that they agree to have a new constitution.
So you suspect perhaps the purpose of the government rally will be to encourage the president to announce or to say something about a third term?
Absolutely.
Sidi Ature is the leader of the opposition Union of Republican Forces Party. He was speaking with us from the Guinean capital, Conakry. Guinea-Bissau's President José Mario Vaz dismissed his entire government this week, just weeks before the scheduled presidential elections on November 24. The move throws into question whether polls will take place, despite the fact that Vaz's mandate was officially up in June. Vincent Fauchet, a researcher for the French National Center for Scientific Research, talks to Ricky Shryak about what to watch out for next in Guinea-Bissau.
The dismissal of the government is indeed very problematic because the elections are soon and are controversial. We've been through a number of phases with major opposition parties criticizing the way the government was ending the elections. A number of observers, and apparently ECOWAS as well, the regional community, seem to think these objections are very political and are essentially delaying tactics by the opposition, and they have pushed the process forward as much as can be. So it does look like President Vaz, in a way, is trying to find another tool, basically, to delay the elections, which are going to see him probably lose power.
He said that the elections would continue on the date, but is there a concern that that will change?
I would be surprised if a new government, the elections could still say the same thing. That would be very surprising.
In the past, ECOWAS has been able to step in and put down sanctions for things and try to eventually get the ball rolling on new government. But the mediator has been Alpha Conde, who has his own issues to deal with in Guinea at the moment. I mean, what's the likelihood that ECOWAS will be able to come in and, quote, fix this?
Well, I would be very surprised if ECOWAS did not do something, because actually Vaz's decision is really a challenge to their last position on this, which was that the government of Gomez, Prime Minister Gomez, would carry on until the election, and that Vaz basically lost his prerogatives as president while he remained president, because, you know, his election should have taken place earlier. So basically he was not an acting president anymore, even though he kept the perks of it. So, and I think that's also why Vaz insisted that the elections would happen on due date, you know, so as to try and explain ECOWAS that things would be good. But to me, it really reads like a challenge to ECOWAS. So I suspect we're going to have a reaction by ECOWAS fairly soon.
Is it legal, what Vaz has done?
In a sense, we are past legality. You know, the fact that Vaz is still president is in a way illegal, but then it was agreed with ECOWAS that he should be, but without powers. So the whole legality of all that, you know, which is sort of de facto ad hoc agreements, is very difficult to assess. I think, you know, I think in a way, yes, we're past legality. It's more about power balance and you know, how far ECOWAS wants to push and what forces in Bissau are currently backing Vaz's decision.
Vincent Fauchet is a researcher for the French National Center for Scientific Research. He was speaking to Ricky Shryak from Paris. Last week, a Ugandan minister attempted to reintroduce a revoked 2014 law allowing capital punishment for people convicted of gay sex. Meanwhile, police arrested 16 activists on suspicion of homosexuality, which is illegal in Uganda and punishable with up to life in prison. The government's renewed anti-gay focus has led a long-castigated and already fearful gay community to lie low, with some LGBT people forced into hiding. Halima Athumani reports from Kampala.
21-year-old Shamim Priti, not her real name, has taken shelter in a Kampala safe space for the past 3 years. Priti says that when she was 16, her mother kicked her out of the house and called the police because she, Priti, is transgender. When they took me to the police, my mother was there waiting for me. They really mistreated me. There was an officer who was very homophobic. He got a hold of me and beat me up. He called in the media, and in front of the press, they took my clothes off. LGBT support group Icebreakers Uganda set up the safe house in 2012, just 1 year before lawmakers voted to increase the punishment for homosexuality from life in prison to death. Under Western pressure, Uganda in 2014 overturned the Anti-Homosexuality Act. But gay sex remains illegal, and members of the LGBT community are routinely harassed and shunned in a country where many revile homosexuality. Elvis Ayesiga is the program's director at Icebreakers Uganda.
Evicting you you don't have anywhere to go, you don't have money for rent, you don't have what. So we offer space here, usually for 1 month, so that you go back on your feet as you look for money to go and rent somewhere else.
Earlier this month, Uganda's ethics minister, Simon Lokodo, announced the bill would be reintroduced, raising fears of renewed attacks on the gay community. Pepe Julian Onjima works with Sexual Minorities Uganda.
Already, most people do not have homes. They do not have education. They are not employed. They are homeless. So when something like this comes, it threatens even the little safety that they had.
Ugandan government spokesman denied any plan to reintroduce what some call the Kill the Gays Bill. Even so, the LGBT community sees an ominous sign in the arrest of 16 gay activists who simply possessed condoms and anti-HIV medicines. Zalen, not the person's real name, is a gay Ugandan.
You're out and then you're thinking, yeah, I'm letting loose. Before you know it, you'll want to dance in a certain kind of way. And then, boom, you're thinking, oh, wait, you have to control yourself. You do not know who's watching or who will get offended by the way you're really having a good time or whatever. So it's, you have to be on the cautious side all the time.
For now, Uganda's LGBT support groups are offering training on what to do in case of arrest and providing a place to hide from persecution. Halima Athmani for VOA News, Kampala.
Briefly, before we leave you, a summary of Africa news. Months of unrelenting militia attacks in Eastern Democratic Republic of Congo are driving people from their homes, adding to the millions already displaced and threatening to spill insecurity elsewhere in Africa's Great Lakes region. Observers warn this week people fleeing the conflict logged small children and possessions as they trekked across the DRC's eastern border into Uganda, Rwanda, and Burundi. They fault the Mai Mai, a general name for the scores of armed fighting groups that have engaged in ethnic clashes for decades. In Guinea-Conakry, today's mass burials of those killed during the October 14 protests against a suspected third-term bid by President Alpha Condé will not take place as planned. The Ministry of Health and Public Hygiene issued a communique Wednesday night saying the autopsies it commissioned to determine the actual causes of death have not been completed. The opposition says as many as 9 people were killed, but the government disputes this and wants detailed autopsy to determine what caused the real death. That's it for this Wednesday, October 30th edition of Daybreak Africa. On behalf of the Daybreak Africa crew, I'm James Botti in Washington saying have a good day, Africa.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, the first ever Russia-Africa summit in Sochi marks a new era of economic, military, and political engagement between Russia and the continent. We'll take a closer look on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.